Thank you, Charlie, and thank you, Gordy. Amen. And thank all of you visitors who are with us here today. We have several, more than I have fingers to count, and so we'll not try to count or name all of our visitors. I want to announce to you today that a great day is coming. We had one yesterday. But there is a greater day coming. A great, great coming. It'll be a great day, none quite like it. But what makes a day great? Usually it involves an event or activity which has never happened before and will never occur again. This day that we want to talk about this morning is going to shake the very foundation of the earth and bring mankind to its knees. It is indeed a great day. I want us to discuss this subject through three views. I want us to look at it as a great day that is coming. And I want us to look at it as a bright day that's coming. And finally, I want us to look at it as a sad day that's coming. Indeed, there's a great day coming. And the reason it's a great day is because, first of all, the Lord Jesus will return that day. In Acts chapter 1, as the disciples were viewing the ascension of Jesus into heaven, a spokesperson for heaven said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And so the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly on, this message was given to them. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, we're told, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." It'll be a great day because the Lord is returning. And he'll come with his angels. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, Matthew said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." This will be a great day because the Lord will come in his glory. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27, the writer said, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Yes, this is a great day because the Lord is coming. There will be no visit like it before or after. The visitor indeed will enhance the beauties of that day. It will be a great day. But not only is it a great day because the Lord is returning, but it'll be a great day because the earth will come to an abrupt end. It will be earth's final day. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, Peter said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Now when you begin to think and reflect about that saying, about what that verse really says, it may upset you extremely so. But also, it may make you aware of who you are and what relationship you should have with the Almighty. Indeed, the earth will come to an abrupt end. Existence on the earth as we know it will be no more. For Peter continues his discussion of that same subject in chapter 3, his second epistle, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." It will be a great day because the earth will come to an abrupt end and conclusion. And that will be the finality of all things. What a great day. But that's not all. This great day is a great day because the judgment call will be sounded. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, Paul reminds Timothy that the God whom he serves will judge the living and the dead. In Matthew 16 and verse 27, Jesus said that his Father will judge every man according to his works. In Jude, we're told, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath received or reserved an everlasting chains unto darkness under the judgment of the great day. The great day will be a judgment on all peoples, even upon those angels who have been cast out of heaven and have been put in everlasting chains unto the darkness. In Psalms 96 and verse 13, we're informed that he will come to judge the earth, and he will judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Indeed, this will be a great day. A great day because the Lord will return. A great day because the earth will come to an abrupt conclusion. And a great day because the judgment call will be sounded. Now, there may be other significant applications of this reflective thought, but these three will serve to point out the fact that this day will be great. This great day will be a bright day for some. This day, for example, will bring knowledge and understanding. It will be an awakening. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, John said, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." This passage teaches us that there will be an acknowledgement of who we are, of where we belong, of where we'll be going. There will be an understanding like no other understanding of any other day, because this will be a bright day. When the morning comes, trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land, but he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands: want of shelter and of food, thirsty hills and barren land. But we're trusting the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for each thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best. But we'll understand it better by and by. And so this bright day is coming. And it's coming to enlighten us, to give us knowledge, to give us insight, to answer those questions we've been posing to God for some time, and to others. But this will be a bright day because his glory will shine upon us. We will glow with the brightness of his glory. What does glory mean? It means magnificence. It means heavenly bliss. It means peace of mind like you've never had it before. It means happiness through and through in all of the fiber of your being. It is magnificence. It is heavenly bliss. In Psalm 17 and verse 15, the psalmist said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." In Colossians 3 and verse 4, Paul said, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." Sometimes we sing the song entitled, "I'll Live in Glory." "The end I know is nearing, by faith I look away, to yonder home supernal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to Him forever and look beyond the sky. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love story there on high. There with my dear Redeemer, there no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. This will be a bright day because it'll be the day that God's glory will shine upon us. But it'll be a bright day because it will be a day of rejoicing, for all of God's people will be home. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, we are informed. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. A bright day because a day of rejoicing of God's people who have gone home. And so sometimes we sing, Soon the bright homeland adorning, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, trust till the night is gone. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there, He is the light. Off in storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for Thee. Beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea. Homeward bound, God's people will find themselves at home. That's why it will be a bright day. In 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2, we're told by Paul, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Yes, the home that we stand to inherit is a home fit for a king, is a home to satisfy the longings and the hopefulness of God's people. It'll be a beautiful home of the ransomed. And it'll be beside the crystal sea as described in the book of Revelation. This will be a bright day because it is a day of rejoicing, for the dead shall rise. Jesus talked about the resurrection frequently in His public and private ministry. For example, in John chapter 5, Jesus is speaking and He says, Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Be it said that this day will be a great day, a bright day, because the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. And that theme was caught by the apostles and carried on in their messages to the churches. For example, the apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who are asleep. But the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comforting words, are they not? They teach us of the great day, the day that will be bright in every way. For it will be a day of rejoicing, for the dead shall rise first. But that great day will be a sad day for some. It'll be a sad day when Jesus will say to us, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That's what he said in Matthew 25. And as we read that, we think to ourselves, well, that must be an horrendous sin that will cause Jesus to say, "I do not know you. Enter into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." But then read the context with me this morning for a moment. Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no water. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was without clothing, but you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me not." For those reasons, Jesus said, it'll be a sad day, for the eternal fire is prepared for you, shared by the devil and his angels. Yes, if we're negligent about helping the poor and the needy, we shall indeed stand to hear the words of that sad day, "Depart, for I know you not." Paul said to the Galatians, "As you have therefore opportunity, do good to all men, especially unto those of the household of faith." And then in chapter 13 of Matthew, Jesus issues a series of parables, and among them he says, "When the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom the things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." A sad day, and yet a great day. The great day will be a sad day for those who have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus. I can't answer that question for you. You must answer it for yourself. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the apostle admonished the Thessalonians along these matters. And he wrote in chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day," that great day, "to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." You must answer to God as to your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, what it really boils down to is this. This great day will be bright or sad, depending on the decisions we have made. The choices that have come to us, which we have made, will determine this great day to be bright or sad. And you can turn this great day into a bright day or a sad day. You have that choice. Make the right choice. And make it now as we stand and sing.